Just a brief word of explanation. If you're a visitor this morning or not a regular with us, you might have thought we are a little bit peculiar. And there is some truth in that. So you're listening and we're singing a song, and then suddenly we're not quite singing the same song, and occasionally there are words around that we don't understand. One of the things that God said about us and we believe about ourselves is we are supposed to be unashamedly charismatic. Now that means that we believe that there's a Holy Spirit around who releases all kinds of gifts to his people and to his church. And that sometimes will result in some of these specific gifts. One of them is speaking in other languages. And so sometimes we don't quite understand. And sometimes we want to make space for God to speak to us and for us to respond to God. So that's been going on quite a bit this morning, and I intend it to continue. I would say until Friday morning, Thursday night, certainly, I didn't really know what I was supposed to be talking about this morning. I knew there was something good coming, I just couldn't find it. It happens to me sometimes. And then I had a two-hour conversation with John on Friday morning, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But that left me at the end. I think both of us felt better after the conversation, didn't we, John? I hope so. I certainly did. And you said you did, so that's all right. And off the back of it, I began to think. And then actually some of us spent a day at a conference yesterday, which really just confirmed it for us. I'll change the order of what I was going to do, I think. Last week, I was talking, we had a visitor in, for those of you who weren't here, we had a visitor in, Steve Wendell's, a very good friend of mine, whom we'd invited to come and help us shape and adjust the way this church moves forward and the way it's led. And one of the things we said at the end was, I actually had said to the church, and I said I wasn't going to repeat it, but I can't easily explain it without repeating it, so I will repeat it. I had actually apologised for the fact that I had felt that there were things that I had not risen up to in terms of leading the church that God wanted me to do. I did it everywhere else, but not here. I was sitting on this front row here chatting with my good friend Dennis, who said to me, I think you've been a bit too hard on yourself, Graham, as you often are. Well, I liked that. It made me feel good. But I reflected on it afterwards and I thought, I don't think I was. And you see, Janet and I had a conversation. This is quite a peculiar one. Janet and I had a conversation. We were talking about, Janet was saying she felt tentative about her own ministry from God, her own reactions to God. And then she said, but if you as the church leader are tentative about your call to lead this church, then perhaps the rest of us might be tentative, you see. And I thought that makes eminent sense. I didn't realise she was quoting somebody else because she didn't attribute it at that occasion. Oh, did you? All right, I didn't take it in. So I'm out on my bike Friday night listening to a CD of a talk that was given at Ground Level Conference. And in the middle of it, Jack Robleski says that God had said to him at some point in time that he was too tentative about the way he led his church, and God said to him, if the leader is tentative about his call to lead the church, then the church will be tentative. And I thought, I've heard that before. Well, I didn't realise that Janet was quoting, but anyway, that grabbed hold of my attention. So yesterday in this conference, I felt I really needed to do something about it, because although I'd made my declarations last Sunday, I was still feeling, if I'm honest, tentative. That was the only way I could describe it. I didn't think I've quite got what I'm after, you see. So yesterday I felt that the right person to ask to pray for me was my brother, who from the Ground Level point of view is the person who's over me, if you like, in Ground Level terms, as the leader of the network of the church. Now, he didn't pray for me. A guy called Dave Carr did, but if you'd listened to his prayer, you'd have thought he'd been listening to my conversation. Because he just prayed all the important things for me. And I just jotted something down here that I felt was important. Yes, one of the things he said, he told me, effectively, as he was praying, he was talking about the chains. He may not have used that word, but he was talking about the chains that hold me down, that anchor me. And then he talked about curses, and I'm going to come back to this in a minute. But what he said was, he actually identified some things, and what he said was, the word curse is like limitation. And it's like somebody has placed a limitation over you in what you've said, and you've received it. I've been banging on about receiving over the last few weeks, and will continue to do so. But you do realize that you can receive the wrong thing as well as the right thing. And sometimes if somebody says something about you that puts you down, you can actually receive it, and it starts to mark who you are and how you respond. God wants to break those things, and he wants to break some of them this morning. I was intending to start, but I'll do it now. The Sunday evening meeting a couple of weeks ago, I felt God give me a clear word of prophecy about the church, and I'm going to declare it again now. It is specifically about Ashwood Church, but it actually applies to every person in this room, whether you're part of that or not. You see, I believe that God is encouraging us that if we choose to take hold of it, there is for us both to receive personally and to give away a fresh measure of God's amazing grace. A fresh measure of God's amazing grace. I believe he is giving us the authority, the power, even the responsibility to see chains gone. I believe we have amongst us the possibility, firstly, to make sure that there are no chains holding us down and restricting us. But actually, I believe there is an increased anointing that actually comes to every Christian. We don't always see it or always receive it, to see other people's chains gone. See, there is a responsibility on Christians to be amongst other people, to see the things that restrict and restrain them broken. It's part of the good news of Jesus Christ. And you see, I believe that God says he's making available to us a new season of power and authority to see that happen. Now, it has to start, I think, with us saying to ourselves and to the Holy Spirit, is there anything holding me back right now? Is there anything restricting and restraining me? Do I still need a touch of the grace of God? Matt didn't know what I was going to do this morning, but the whole sense of where we've been going this morning just encourages me that God does know where we're going. And to ask that question, and then when we've asked that question, is there anything that we need to receive from God, something that God gives us, and we need to remain open to him declaring that yet again, I think we should... I'm going around in circles. Just a minute. I interrupted myself and it didn't make sense. I believe that God says he's making available to us a new season of power and authority to see that happen. It has to start with us saying to ourselves and to the Holy Spirit, is there anything holding me back right now? Is there anything restricting and restraining me? Do I still need a touch of the grace of God? But then having done that and received anything that God gives us and remaining open to him declaring that yet again, then I think we should be looking to see where we can bring that measure to others. That means sometimes we're going to come across someone who's restricted and restrained. Sometimes we will see it. Sometimes they will even start a conversation with us. And we will realize that they're talking about something that you and I have an answer for. Sometimes it will be really appropriate to talk to them about Jesus. Other times it will be just appropriate to lend a listening ear and to bring some encouragement and perhaps some personal testimony. But I do believe there is available to us a new season that we really need to grasp hold of. This is a day where, this is the beginning of a season where there is a fresh anointing for us specifically to bring the freedom that comes via the cross, through the resurrection, and through a Jesus who is seated at the right hand of God the Father praying for you and me, and the Jesus who has sent his Holy Spirit to help us. It isn't something for us as individuals to try harder. There is something being spoken into this church right now that says we have more than we have ever seen before of a bringing of freedom from chains, freedom from addiction, freedom from restriction, freedom from restraints, freedom from historical anchor points. We first need to check ourselves, receive something from God, and then allow God to grow something within us so that faith arises and we begin to say, yes, I can believe for that, I can see it. I can expect it. Few verses out of the Bible that reinforce what I've got to say. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 it says this, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Basically, that is saying that God's objective for every Christian person is to cause them to be more and more like Jesus. That's the objective. That's what God is wanting to do for you and for me. In Galatians 5, it says, Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law, to rules and regulations. In John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, if the Son, that is Jesus Christ, sets you free, you are truly free. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, and verses 6 to 11, it says this, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honour. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. The old version said, cast all your cares, cast all your burdens on him, for he cares for you. Then it says this, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. What I'm saying then is that there is a call upon us to bring freedom in Christ to those around us. That's our responsibility. We must move further ahead. And if you cast your mind back to what Steve was saying last week, when he was talking to us about our effect beyond ourselves, this is another element of exactly the same thing. We need to bring freedom in Christ to those around us, that others, includes our friends, our acquaintances, we want them to know Jesus and find forgiveness and freedom. Nothing says, by the way, we have to be perfect Christians to bring it. Which is good news, if we're honest. But God is offering freedom to us in greater measure than we have so far received it. God's objective is to make you and me more and more like Christ. Nothing held him back. And you see, the call to us this morning is to receive, I believe, a fresh measure of freedom. And I'm starting with me. I have broken some chains that left me less secure about God's expectations of me than I should be. Do you hear what I said? I've said I've broken some chains that left me less secure about God's expectations of me than I should be. And I have broken the restriction that the devil has sought to put upon me through sickness. And basically I'm saying I want to see that for many, many more people. Okay? And I want us to start with ourselves this morning, because I actually believe that there's something really important about not being tied down. Now, there will be plenty of people in this room who've heard this sort of message before and have responded to it. I have, dozens of times. But I'm coming to you this morning saying that yesterday I still saw some things out of my history that tied me down that I wanted to see broken. So that means, apart from a handful of people in this room who are older than I am, all the rest of you have no excuse. You've got to still be ready to say, well, if Graham at the age of 63 has discovered something, and he's been a Christian for most of the 63 years, and he's still finding things that need to be adjusted, then I think it can apply to every single one of us in this room. And 63 is not the bar on this. It goes higher than that, and therefore any single one of us can see that happen for us this morning. Now let me give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. What I want you to do, I mean, Matt's prepared the ground for this, because we've been looking at how, when you use the term heart, you're not talking about that red thing that pumps blood in this instance. You're talking about the very centre of your being, what matters to you, what makes you tick, what drives you and what you drive, the very essence of you. And we've already looked at that. So I'm asking you, in the light of what we've already prayed, as I speak, invite the Holy Spirit to nudge you about anything I say that affects you. Not looking to embarrass people this morning at all, if I can help it. But I want you to be listening and saying, is that me? Now don't go all, you know, sort of religious on me. Don't go sort of deep and meaningful. Just let the Spirit of God within you nudge you if there's something that you need to adjust this morning. Okay. So, number one, I mentioned already this business of curses. Curses is not swearing, and that's one of the uses of the words, I know. And sometimes these things come out of occult things. But basically, a curse is a limitation spoken over us. It's the best definition I've ever heard. Let me give you an example. You see, it happened to me. Now, you see, I've told you before, I was a good boy. Nick Gear's not here, so I'm allowed to tell a few old stories again, but you will tell him, I know. But you see, I discovered within myself years later that in the same way as my dad had always, for particular reasons that I understand, he had always deferred to anybody whom he saw as over him. Not just over him in the Lord, he would defer to people who were older than him. He would particularly defer to people in position. So if there was a head teacher or a doctor, he always addressed them and talked about them using their surnames rather than their Christian names. Even if, and anything they said seemed to get extra weight. I grew up with the same thing. Also, because I was a good boy, I had a tendency to obey if my parents told me to do something. Which, on the whole, is a good tendency. But you see, you can grow up, and there is the possibility you can obey something that somebody tells you to do that actually isn't right. It is possible. It is possible. So you see, what can happen is that someone, particularly someone in authority, someone like a parent, like a teacher, like a church leader, sadly, like somebody you work for, such a person can say something over you or about you that tends to put a limitation upon you. You know, the sort of thing somebody, without really thinking what they're doing, says to their kids, well, you'll never be good at maths. Now, that might just be a remark that goes straight over their heads, but for some kids who have a real confidence in what dad says, if dad says you will never be any good at maths, it is just possible you will then, because of that, never be any good at maths because you believe something about yourself and it puts you at a disadvantage. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? And therefore, if somebody said to me, well, actually, if somebody said you're not supposed to be the leader of this church or you're not good at that, and I've absorbed it into myself, it can become a curse upon me. Now, that can be just something that's lurking in my background, but it affects the way I think about myself. But sometimes the devil, that one who's prowling around looking for something to devour, if he gets a hold of it, then every time I try to break loose of it, and I say, no, I'm not. I am. I'm okay. But then he'll creep up and whisper to me, you're not really, Graham. And if I'm foolish enough to listen, I can go down the tubes. Now, I'm taking a major risk this morning declaring this to you publicly, because there are enough people in this room who will be able to come back to me one day and say, Graham, I believe you've slipped back. First person to do it is sitting here, but there are a few others who might as well. But on the other hand, prepare to take the risk this morning, because I want to see none of you doing the same thing. You see what I mean? Now, that for me is one of the most obvious examples. And sometimes people do it to themselves. I come across people who've actually said, I will never be any good. I will never look as attractive as so-and-so. Now, just listen to the Holy Spirit, because he might be talking to you about one of these things right now, because it's very, very common. Some of you have dealt with them before. But some of you are thinking, oh, I wonder if I'm doing that. And some of you are sure that you are. And we can deal with it. What other things cause these kinds of change? These things that restrict us and restrain us, these anchors. Sin is another one. You see, if we do something that breaks God's law, it can leave its stain on our lives. We can receive forgiveness and complete cleaning, but sometimes we don't actually receive it and claim it. I have often prayed with folk who know that in their heads that Jesus has forgiven them for what they've done, but they haven't actually got round to forgiving themselves yet, and so it still affects them. There's something they've done that they now wish they hadn't done. They know it was wrong, but somehow or other it has become an anchor, a restriction, almost like a fence that they can't get past. Curses, sin. Habits. These may or may not be sin, but they can take a hold of us so that we are no longer free, and they can lead to sin. Freedom from addictions and holds is available today. See what I mean? That sounds ever so ordinary. They tell me a habit can be formed, I think it's 21 days, isn't it? Something like that. If you do something for 21 days, you can form a habit. They can be good habits, they can be bad habits. There are certain things that's really good for us to do. But actually, sometimes there are things that we've just got into the habit of doing that they become the way we always do it without thought. And sometimes they are not the best way and they hold us back. Because if we say, well, I'm just not the sort of person who speaks in tongues. I remember John saying that years ago. He's not that sort of person now, but he was then. I can remember people saying, I'm not the sort of person to lift my hands. Now, lifting hands, it's not sin. Not speaking in tongues, it's not sin. But actually, if you start saying that to yourself and you give your restriction to yourself, it just becomes you. And then when there's an opportunity for you to press forward into something, without thinking, you're just saying to yourself, oh, I don't do that. I've done the I don't do that. Very restrictive. The devil's work is number four. That passage that I read describes Satan as behaving like a roaring lion. I think sometimes he's like the bit before that story, that image where the lion is moving around almost silently, but he's looking for someone to devour. Because Satan's work in our lives is not always obvious. But it says he's prowling around looking for someone to devour. And that is an extreme description, but sometimes we fail to resist it. And the passage says, resist it. That's what it says, resist it. Be in a place of humility is the starting point for it. It says, don't be proud. In other words, it's no good us saying, devil can't touch me. That's not the way to do it. But there's a confidence that says, actually, because of what Jesus Christ has done, I can resist this. And then I actually think there's another one, which is ongoing sickness. You see, I think ongoing sickness can sometimes be a restriction and a restraint on our lives that needs to be broken. I'm exploring that one particularly for myself. And just in case there are any folk in the room who don't know what I'm talking about, last summer the doctors told me that I had prostate cancer. And I had to decide what I was going to do with it. I had to decide what I was going to pray. I've had a lot of help from a lot of people. That thing is not going to defeat me, let's put it that way. And that is a chain that's been broken as far as I'm concerned. Whatever happens to me in the future, that is not restricting what I do now, and it's not intended to. Now, just run through that list again, because I'm not going to say a lot more. I'm then going to start, I want us then to pray. I mentioned curses, limitations, things that have been said about you. They may be small, but actually they may be locking you down to being less than you could be. Sin. If we've done something that's broken God's law and we haven't fully received and accepted his forgiveness and know we're forgiven and know it's history and have decided we're putting it right behind us, we're not doing that again, that can restrict and restrain us. Habits sound small, but there will be some people around who look at that and they think, oh yeah, I've just got into the habit of doing that. But actually, it's not leaving you open to some other possibilities. The devil's work, the prowling lion, can affect any one of us. We don't always recognise what it is, but sometimes if there's something that's going on that seems to be undermining you, that seems to be dragging you down, that's probably where it's coming from. And then this chain of ongoing sickness, we need to see that broken as well. We've got to get to a place where we understand what God is saying, and in faith we can pray. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a moment or two to think about that before I invite you to respond, and then we're going to pray about some things. Every single person who's on their feet, Lord, is declaring to you that they recognize that there is something that has been limiting them, in some cases for a very long time, in some cases just for a short time. A curse has been spoken over them, a limitation has been declared, and they probably have received it as truth. So we declare first of all, and you need to declare this yourself, that is not true. So the thing that's in your mind now, you need to be saying, actually, that is not true. Or that is no longer true. That is dealt with in Jesus' name. And we speak freedom over every single person on their feet right now, in Jesus' name, that the thing that's been said, even if it has been true, its power is broken in Jesus' name. And the chains are cut. In fact, the song says, my chains fell off. The chains are gone. The restrictions are broken. The limitations, you are now unlimited in the area that we're praying about. Unlimited. We throw off the limitations. Now, you need consciously to think of doing that yourself. This whole business I've been talking about receiving means there's a little bit of activity required by you now. It doesn't have to be visible activity, but something. You have to say, I receive that word. Yes, that is true. Yes, God, that's what I'm doing. Chiaro bondo socio tu. Take a broken piece. Take two broken pieces. Kuryabana sachanda fucharanda. Okay. And if at the end of this meeting you feel, actually, that's all very well, Graham, but it's not broken yet, then I want to pray with you at the end of the meeting, but I'm not going to do it in public now.